I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend. Thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm glad we can share this time in the Word of God together. Let's reflect on the majesty and power of our God as the men sing.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom?
Who can fathom the depth of your love?
You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I stand in awe of you, Jesus, and I stand in awe of you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Thank you, men, for that encouraging reminder. And now, stay with me for today's teaching. Lanny Basham was the Olympic gold medalist in small bore rifle competition in the year of 1976. He tells us what concentration and discipline do for marksmanship. He said, "Our sport is controlled non-movement. We're shooting at a bullseye less than the size of a dime. And we're doing it from 50 meters, that's 165 feet, over half the length of a football field. If the angle of error at the point of the barrel is more than 1/5000th of a millimeter, you drop into the next circle and you lose a point from your score. So we have to learn how to make everything stop. He goes on to say, I stop my digestion by not eating for 12 hours before the competition. I train by running to keep my pulse right around 60, so I have a full second between beats. I stop my breathing. You do all of this, and you have technical control. But you still need some years of experience in reading conditions, the wind, the mirage, and then you have the other 80% of the problems. They're in your mind. You know, it takes incredible discipline to become a master at any sport, to win the gold medal in the Olympics. Lanny's experience is proof of that. He spoke about years of training, not hours or days or even weeks or months, but years. And if someone is willing to do that for the temporary thrill of being the best in the world for a short time in one sport, what about those of us who are focused on eternity? Shouldn't we be willing to endure rigorous training so that we can be the best possible servants of Christ? You see, one day you and I will take our place on the reviewing stand, much like the athletes in the Olympics. Only this time, it will be about eternal rewards, not an earthly medal. We'll stand before our King and we'll give an account of how we have stewarded the gifts and the abilities and the resources He's given to us. If you and I have used those gifts selfishly, then those works will be burned up. If we've used them for His glory and the blessing of others, there will be an eternal reward. The title for our study today is Standing Before the King. And our text is Daniel chapter 1 and verses 1 to 21. I invite you to listen as I read that now from the New King James Version. Daniel chapter 1. And verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Please test your servants 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And, as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel chapter 1 shows us the phases of training each of us needs to complete in order that we might faithfully stand before our king. The first phase of this training is acknowledge God's providence. Dictionary.com defines providence this way: God, especially when conceived as omnisciently directing the universe and the affairs of humankind with wise benevolence. As we noted in last week's introduction to our study in the book of Daniel, God's providence is evident again and again throughout this entire book. He is superintending the affairs of all human beings, and especially of those who give him the proper place in their lives. Here in chapter 1, God's people found themselves in a circumstance similar to that of their ancestors in Egypt just before the Exodus. Remember, Israel was in captivity, in bondage, and their God seemed impotent. But we know that God in his providence was using their hard bondage to build their endurance and to equip them for their coming trek through the wilderness. And now, once again, God was at work in the darkest of circumstances. You see, God had called the people of Judah to repentance again and again through the prophets, but they paid little attention to him. Now God was using the heathen nation of Babylon to bring judgment on them. Verse 2 says, God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. God did that. Can you imagine how hard it must have been for the people of Judah to make sense of that, especially the godly ones like Daniel and his friends? Judah's disobedience became an opportunity for God to demonstrate his providence, his wise benevolence. Yes, he hated the sin of his people, but he loved them. His goal in discipline was not annihilation, but rather repentance and restoration. So he chose a nation that would take them into captivity and, in a sense, protect them for the next 70 years. And when those 70 years were finished, he would send his people back home and he would have their captors pay for the trip. Isn't our God amazing? God also providentially allowed some of the gold and silver vessels to be taken from the temple and carried to Babylon. Daniel uses the biblical term Shinar. By definition, it was a place that was hostile to God and to faith in God. You remember, the Tower of Babel was built at Shinar. So the Babylonians took those vessels and placed them in the treasure houses of their heathen gods in Shinar. That signified to them that their gods were more powerful than Jehovah. Don't forget this detail, because these vessels take on special significance when we get to Daniel chapter 5. Now there's an interesting contrast here at the beginning of chapter 1 between the disobedience of the nation and the obedience of Daniel and his 3 friends. But these contrasts give expression to God's providence. God providentially chose Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to be among the first captives taken to Babylon. I'm not sure they would have immediately understood their captivity as something that would turn out for good. Their situation was very similar to that of Joseph in Egypt. All of the captives were expected to meet the king's criteria. They were to be without blemish, handsome, and intelligent. The training they had and their lessons in deportment back home in Judah made them suitable as officer trainees to King Nebuchadnezzar. They were the cream of the crop of Judah's young men. Once they were enrolled in Nebuchadnezzar's training program, they were given the very best of everything the kingdom had to offer. They lived in a highly controlled environment that was designed to produce capable and effective leaders. All of their physical needs were provided for, along with rigorous cultivation of their intellect. They studied language, history, the sciences, mathematics, astronomy, and more. All those were part of their daily training regimen. Now, we can be quite certain that many more than just these four young men from the ruling families were taken. But the biblical record follows these four, most likely because they were faithful to God and obedient to His commands. These four, and especially Daniel, had a major impact on the kingdom of Babylon. Now, what difficult experiences have you had that have caused you to question God's providence? A difficult childhood? The tragic loss of a loved one? Maybe a debilitating health condition? Or the loss of a source of livelihood? You know, all those things and more are things that make us ask, is God really good all the time? Many of you are familiar with the life and ministry of Johnny Erickson Tada. As a young woman faced with a lifelong disability, she chose to focus on God's goodness and His purpose in allowing the accident that left her paralyzed. And you know, countless lives have been impacted for Christ because of her choices. We must remember that the God who made us is infinitely more qualified than we are to decide what our path through life should look like. I take a lot of comfort from verses like Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Each of us is God's masterpiece, and He has prepared beforehand that our lives should bring Him praise and honor and glory. I think of a young man I know in his early 20s. He's confined to a wheelchair with an incurable disease. He knows he'll most likely never be able to do the things that his peers enjoy. Sports, marriage, physical labor, just to name a few. And yet, he has a bright, cheerful countenance and a ready smile. He hasn't given in to self-pity or to a defeatist attitude. He's trusting in the goodness of God and living to the praise and honor and glory of his Heavenly Father. He's an inspiration to many people. You know, like Daniel and his friends, you and I must also complete this phase of our training as servants of the King. We must embrace the reality of God's wise benevolence, His care for us as His children. The circumstances that you and I face will not always make God's providence readily apparent, but we can, by faith, accept what He has planned and then effectively serve Him. May it be said of us that we've been chosen providentially because of our obedience to Jesus and our desire to fulfill His plan for our lives, just like Daniel and his friends. If so, then we will have no fear when it's our turn to stand before the King. The second phase of training to stand before the King is acknowledge God's protection. When God providentially places us in an environment that's hostile or difficult, He'll provide adequate protection for us so we can remain faithful to Him. Sometimes He does it supernaturally, without any input from those in that environment. At other times, He uses our choices and our responses to help provide that protection. For example, think of Joseph in Potiphar's house. I know a man who worked for a major company in our area. They design and manufacture aerial work platforms and material handling equipment. But in 2009, this company signed a contract with the U.S. military to provide a specialized vehicle for the war that was ongoing in Afghanistan. The man I mentioned is a follower of Christ, and based on his understanding of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he felt like he couldn't participate in anything related to promoting or supporting the war effort. So rather than violate his conscience, he quit his job and found other employment. Now, whether you agree with his choice or not, he had purposed or resolved to be true to God's word as he understood it. And for that, he is to be commended. In our text, God's protection becomes evident through Daniel's purpose. Think of all the rationalizations for compromise that Daniel and his friends could have come up with. Just think, if we eat the king's food and obey his commands, we'll be placed in important government posts. Then think of the impact we can have for God on this heathen nation. Or maybe something like this. Under normal circumstances, we should obey God's law. But these aren't normal circumstances. But no, verse 8 tells us that Daniel purposed or resolved in his own heart that he would not defile or pollute himself with a portion of the king's food and drink.
We bless thy name.
Thank you, Altar of Praise Chorale. My friend, thank you for joining us on the Voice of Hope today. We weren't able to finish our study in the first chapter of Daniel today, but Lord willing, we'll be back next week to pick it up again. So I hope you can join me week by week as we study this amazing book together. If you'd like to contact us, the easiest way to do that is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292, or send a note to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And you can visit our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to many of our Bible teaching programs at your convenience. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now I'll look for you next week, friend. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, Standing Before the King. So tune in and invite your friends to listen too. And until we meet again,
great God, sweet.